You're listening to the Whole Hog Sports Podcast. And now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Today on the show, we're going to have a Q&A at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club with former Razorback football players Steve Conley, Anthony Hicks, and Spencer Brown. We'll get to it in just a moment, but first a word from Kendall King.
Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
We got Anthony, we got Spencer, and we got Stephen Conley here. Just introductions, I guess we'll start with you, Steve, and what they did as Razorbacks. I noticed a couple of you are wearing your SEC West Division Championship rings from 1995. They were all on that team that won the SEC West in 1995. Steve, let's start with you. You grew up in Chicago. You came here. You played in the NFL. Just kind of tell us about your career and what you're doing now.
Yeah, thanks. Like I said, I grew up in Chicago. I had a lot of scholarships to play football, basketball, or track. Didn't know what sport I wanted to play. When I came here to Arkansas, believe it or not, I tried to play all three and ended up staying with football. Probably the best decision I made. We got a chance to meet some great friends, had a great opportunity to be a part of the team to win the first SEC West Championship. But before we got to that point, our starting point looked a lot like what's going on today. And I'm sure we're going to talk a lot about that and how we can get out of that slump. But great to be here with you guys today.
You played in the NFL with the Steelers and the Colts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Am I right? Am I right that you were part of the Jerome Bettis trade?
Yes. I always tell Jerome Bettis he owes me $200,000. It's a true story. So, No, Pittsburgh was literally about to draft me. I wish they never told me this. They're about to draft me as the second round, as their second pick in the 96 draft. And for some reason, St. Louis called them, and they said, hey, are you interested in Jerome? So they said, yeah. So they ended up trading. They was hoping I would still be in the third round. They traded their second pick to get Jerome Bettis, so they didn't draft me. And that was like a $200,000 signing bonus difference because of that trade. But for Pittsburgh, lucky for them, I was still there in the third round. So they got everything that they wanted. They got me, Jerome, and I came home $200,000 less money.
Spencer Brown here. Spencer grew up in Morrilton. We had Coach Tice here today. I was thinking about the Burlsworth Trophy. If the Burlsworth Trophy were a thing in 1995, you might have been somebody that was looked at for it. You start as a walk-on. You end up with five interceptions on that team. You led the team in pass breakups. A great season for you as a senior.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm an old Devil Dog. Proud. Yeah, absolutely. Always found a Devil Dog. There's a lot of Tigers and Bears. There's only one Devil Dog. Came to Arkansas in 91. You know, I got the records. I actually have our records wrote down on my phone. That's why I pulled it out. I won't beat you guys up with our records, so we can tell you what it's like to go from ground zero to the top. But you said this ring here is actually a graduation ring for these young men out here. I wear this one all the time. I keep that one locked up because, you know, you have to earn this one. We want everybody to get that graduation ring, so we try to encourage those young men. We see them, hey, get this ring. You know, everybody can get this ring if you get your degree. So this is our graduation ring. That's why I do have it on. So for you guys, please continue to strive in your sports, but get your education. Steve was being generous. Yeah, I did lead SEC in my senior year in 95 with five, but that was because this guy led the SEC in sacks with 14. And that's kind of, we'll talk about that later. That's kind of how it works, you know, in this game of sports, working together to accomplish a goal. I'm born and raised in Morrilton. I came here probably 154 pounds soaking wet. I could run, but, you know, my the last scholarship went to one of my best friends, Earl Scott. And this day, you would call a gray shirt. They gray shirted me in the first year and paid for everything. And I got bigger, faster, and stronger and was playing receiver. And I met Juju Horshaw. You guys know Juju Horshaw and Barry Foster. Met those guys, and I realized my running back days are over. And I moved over to cornerback, and that's my career. We'll get into that later. But, yeah.
We're sharing mics right here. So, Anthony, you grew up in Arkadelphia, went to Arkadelphia High School. came up here. You battled some injuries.
Go Badgers.
But then you – you know, I've always said, by the way, Arkadelphia, it's one of those – Chip was talking about Texas football towns. Arkadelphia is one of those towns that would fit in Texas. Arkadelphia, Greenwood, those type of towns where they go crazy on Friday nights for their high school team. But you battled some knee injuries, but you were really, you know, pivotal part of that 95 team too. Went on, played in the NFL a little bit. Canadian football. Yeah. Just tell us about your path.
Well, I'm the son of a coach. My dad was a basketball coach at Arkadelphia in Camden, just retired 45 years in the state of Arkansas. So I have an opportunity to come to Arkansas, being the first recruit for the 1992 class to commit. I didn't want to go anywhere else because I'm an Arkansas boy. I know that doesn't resonate as much now because it's all about the money, and I hate that because they don't really get a chance to feel what it means to be an Arkansas Razorback being from Arkansas, because now it's all about the dollar. And that kind of hurts my heart a little bit, you know, to the point where, you know, I heard David Basil talking last week about where are the rest of the trophies? You know, where's everything? You know, where's the history? But I'm an Arkansas boy, born and raised from Strong, Arkansas.
Okay.
My dad actually was a basketball coach at Henderson State for a while, and I went to Arkadelphia in my 10th grade year. So okay. I still claim Arkadelphia. I'm hoping both teams win this weekend so we can have yeah, you know what I'm talking about, yeah. And we're going to come out and tailgate. I live right beside Lake Sequoia, so I'm at all your games. You don't ever see me, but I've been scouting you guys all week, calling Coach Shucker, telling him, hey, you got to watch out for that Josh Hamm kid. You got to watch out for those guys. But I know y'all looking for a little revenge from last year because we played Elkins in the state championship game last year.
Okay, so you mentioned let's start here with Arkansas kids.
Yeah.
And you two grew up in Arkansas. You've got a son playing at Fayetteville High School right now. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You guys coach the Hawks. You see these kids come up, you know, through this system. Are they targeting enough Arkansas kids in recruiting? Is it a matter of and maybe it's a nuanced discussion to have. Is it a matter of Arkansas not targeting enough kids? Is it a matter of, you know, some people will tell you that the talent's not good enough in Arkansas? What do you guys see when you see high school football here?
My opinion is we don't have the people in the organization or in the athletic department that actually knows anything about history or anything about Arkansas. You know, I don't know if they literally going down to Elkins. I don't know if they're going, you know, because I can't believe Deshaun Cherish got out of Elkins and didn't get a chance to go to Arkansas. Mm. I can't believe Caden Spencer didn't get a chance to go to Arkansas. You know, all of these opportunities that they're looking at, I know I trust the coaches and I trust what they're doing, but we still don't have that, you know, that hometown, home state opportunity to make sure that everybody gets a chance. And now with the rules changing and it's no walk-on programs anymore and everything is 105 scholarships for football, there's, you know, readily not a lot of opportunities right now. Mm-hmm. And you have to trust the coaches. And if they want to go to Georgia and get a, you know, a guy that didn't work at Georgia, because I was listening to Kirby Smart and he was like, well, what do you do with a kid that's transferred from Georgia that's going somewhere else? He said, I'm going to go play that team with that kid went to, because that kid can't handle, you know, what's going on at Georgia. He's too soft. Because if he's not there, I'm going to go play that team. I don't see why these kids are doing what they're doing. I understand it's about the money, but we just still need some opportunity to be able to bring some kind of sense of pride in what we're doing at Arkansas. And I don't think we're teaching that history about who we are.
Steve, I want to get your thoughts on this too. I want to go back to when Arkansas played Arkansas State this year. Christina, help me with the number. I think was it 28 combined players between the two teams were from the state of Arkansas? And so you're talking about, what's that? I mean, a very low percentage of opportunities that were available to Arkansas kids in the two biggest in-state schools.
Yeah, I think with the transfer portal right now, I think you have coaches are feel pressure to win now, meaning like and so with the transfer portal, and that's where they go first, even before they look in-state. They see what they can get in the portal. So with that, you miss a lot of kids in-state. From the traditional way, you're following a kid from his freshman, his sophomore, his junior year. You're really focused on him his senior year. Right now, coaches really don't go out to the high school unless you get that five star that just stands out, and they're plucking from the transfer portal. And a lot of times when they get them kids, their talent might be there, but the desire and loyalty to go to their institution might not be there. And that goes a long way, because you're talking to a walk-on right here, and that wanted to be here, and from my desire to want to be here, I think that really helped me be a great player at Arkansas. So as soon as something goes wrong, you know, they're gone. But I think if you get that homegrown kid, I think that kid hopefully will fight through the storms, you know, the good and the bad. And I think that's how you build a program. And I think that's the unfortunate thing with NIL and the transfer portal. You just don't have a chance to build. I think it kind of forces, unfortunately, coaches to look there before they look at home. And a lot of kids get missed. Like you mentioned Caden Spencer, and I think he's one of the prime examples who shined for Harding this year, his first season actually playing.
See, these guys gave y'all a political answer. I'm going to tell you straight up, no, they're not recruiting Arkansas enough, and it's ridiculous. If it's in this day and age, I don't play here. He doesn't play here. Grant Morgan doesn't play here. Brandon Burlesworth don't play here. And I can go down a list, and it's ridiculous. You know, I went to a program, and I'm very active with our program. I went over there, and I didn't see nobody but from people from Georgia. I saw nobody from Arkansas, and it's crazy. And we got to get back to what we do best, and that is take care of our own. This young man right here, how do we know he can't grow and get 20 pounds on and become a great outside linebacker? He'll never get a chance. You know, and we got to get back to that, because if we're going to win in the SEC, I don't want to get ahead of your question, but if we get ahead, we can't win with guys who don't want to fight. And Arkansas guys fight. You know, like I told you, I got there 154 pounds, but I ran a 4.389 in a 40. You understand what I'm saying? But I wouldn't even get looked at because of my size. You know, a three-star in Arkansas is going to be the same. You can be a three-star in Arkansas and go to Georgia and become a four or five-star. Do the same thing you're doing here. They just don't respect us. And our coaches got to respect us, and we got to get back. And I'll say this last thing that I know we're going, because I can go on this subject forever. I get a little passionate about it. You know, we had a guy named Harold Horton. Y'all remember Harold Horton? Mm-hmm. Harold Horton made me. I was going to UCA. Because I didn't think about Arkansas. Like, they were winning championships. And he came here, he brought me with him. And, you know, he's got a son out there called Tim Horton. If y'all want to put something out there, let's go get Tim and bring him back and let him go out in the States and go talk to Tommy Tyson's of the world. And so they can get their kids here. But anyway, I'll be quiet. Thank you.
That's why we want you here. Yeah. Keep talking. Well, the passion is appreciated. Yes, so they're going through this coaching search right now. So I want to ask you guys a hypothetical. Steven, we'll start with you. You're the AD at Arkansas. Who wouldn't want that job? You're the AD at Arkansas. What would you do in terms of finding a head coach right now? Like what kind of qualities and characteristics are you looking for? So, and the second part, once you find a head coach, what needs to happen then? Because finding the head coach is only part of the equation.
I'm biased to this question, because I get it. It might not be the best coach, but I'm biased to who I would love to see here. I would love Barry Lunny to come here to be the head coach. That's who I want to see. I think he put his dues in. I think there's a coach. I think from a coaching tree, how everybody's getting picked, it's like, what have they done? What have they done? A lot of times when they go to these places, they have the resources and the money to make that happen. And that's a lot of time, it's not just coaching ability. If once they hire Barry Lunny, what I would like for them to see, I think your check is doing it, trying to do it anyway. We got to compete from an NIL standpoint. We got to get the players here. And that's the biggest thing. I think if we get the players, I think we'll compete. And I think a lot of that, unfortunately, has to do with NIL. I think with a homegrown boy, coach like Coach Lunny, it's just like I was talking about recruiting high school kids to come to Arkansas. I think you have a coach who wants to be here, not just because of the money, but that's a lifelong dream. And I think he'll give everything that he has to try to turn this program around if given the resources.
Spencer?
So I'm going to get a political answer on this one.
Okay.
First and foremost, I'm not against Bobby. I want everybody to know that, because I think Bobby has the fire and he wants to win. He's had his issues. We all know that. So, but if I had my choice, because I look around the landscape of football, and who's winning? You know, the Kirby Smarts, the Nick Sabers, and their defensive-minded guys. Arkansas hadn't had a defensive-minded guy here since probably when I was here, when we were begging for Joe Kynes to be the interim. I would love to see someone on the defensive side to come in here, change our defense. That's what you're going to win in the SEC. We're all defensive guys, first of all. You got to win on that side of the ball, and we hadn't won in a long time. So I would like to see that. I'm not going to give you a name because I don't really have a certain guy, because I got several of them, but I will say that. I want a defensive guy, and then let's bring in – because we got tons of offensive minds. You know, there's so many good offensive minds out there you can bring in because everybody's focusing on that. So we can bring those Kendall Browns in here and rotate them. I like to see that happen for us because I think we need to try a different approach to this landscape for football in the SEC. So I'm going to leave it at that.
Anthony, qualities, characteristics, names?
To be honest with you, I really don't. I'm just looking to see what the boosters are going to do. Because they're going to make the decision. It's all about money right now. And to be honest with you, I don't care what coach they bring in, as long as you bring in a replicable weight coach, a strength coach that actually can teach these guys how to finish. The reason why I think Arkansas are losing all these games at the end is because I don't think they're prepared to finish. Mm. And that's what in the spring, and that's what in the summer teaches you. And that's and Jolie Dunn.
They prepared us
so well to the point where you weren't tired in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. But you can see Arkansas, we lost six games by less than 25 points combined mm-hmm. in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. Now, you can ask any one of these coaches. I mean, that happens not because of what you're doing during the season. That happens because of what you did in the spring and what you did in the summer. Guys, you got to finish. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to bring in a weight coach that actually can get everything out of these kids and develop them. Their hips look tight. They have so many injuries. They have so many opportunities. But I just wish they get a replicable weight coach that actually I don't know if you guys remember John Stuckey. You know, I know you remember John Stuckey, but some of these older guys. Yeah, John Stuckey was our weight coach, and I came in as 175-pound free safety and ended up being a 255-pound middle linebacker. Went from running a 4.6 to running a 4.52, putting on 80 pounds. That's what a weight coach does for you, okay? Because he sees what you have and he sees the opportunities that you have, but he makes you love that weight room and love working out. Everything on the field is easy once you put yourself in a position to get healthy and also continue to just get stronger. And that's why I don't think our teams are getting stronger. You see the linebackers hitting, they're always falling back. They're never playing on the offensive side of the ball. That is weight coach. That is the coaching and the opportunity. So I don't care what coach they get. I think we need to, like I said internally, I think we need to bring back more history and kind of educate these guys. I don't even know what these – you guys know our probably Arkansas fight song. And I guarantee you those kids, half the kids over there can't even sing the fight song. They know that dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. They know what it is, but they don't know the words to it. And we grew up with that. We know everything about it, but – these guys don't have the same history and they don't have the same pride that we do about our program. It hurts. It hurts every day.
Just to piggyback on down a little bit, the example I would give is when we played, we never came off the field. I played the whole game. In today's game, and we played Florida's at Tennessee, so we played five-pace offense, so it's not like you huddled up every time. In today's game, you maybe see the D-line out there four plays max before they like – that was non-existent when we played. And my point for saying that, it's nothing wrong with subbing. My point, you should be wanting to sub just because you got the dogs to bring in just to wear them down. They're coming out because they're tired. And it's not just – it's just the nature of the game. So whoever comes in needs to change the mindset of we're talking defensively on this side of the ball, just change the mindset of the defense so you just perform differently. And that's one of the things I hate to see when it's like – I hate to see that. I'm like, you know, especially when it's just it's four or five plays into the game. And so that's one thing that I would love to see change.
Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Hey, welcome back. Hope you're enjoying our Q&A up at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club. We want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971. They are committed, professional, and versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. Let's now get back to the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club with our guests, Steve Conley, Spencer Brown, and Anthony Hicks. Steven, while you got the mic, I want to ask you about Quincy Rhodes. He's playing well this year, I mean, numbers-wise. You've got the record for sacks and tackles for loss. I don't think he's going to reach your tackles for loss record, but he's going to be.
Nope.
He's going to be top five, top 10 in a single season here. What have you seen from him and just the development that he's made?
You know, actually, I think since the change of the coordinators, he's actually been way more aggressive. I think the defense as a whole has been way more aggressive. I think with the talent that they've had, that they have, I think they're fighting. Like we're asking them to fight. I really think they're fighting. They're really trying their best. I think our biggest problem is we haven't had enough players on the D-line who just make plays by themselves. The defensive coordinator can call a play, but it's up for players to make plays. I think he has a tremendous upside. I wish whatever's got into him these last three games, I wish we had it at the beginning of the season to see what could have evolved from him. But I think it's going to be great. Like you say, he's not going to get my record. He's not going to get my No, but I think he's capable of even playing on the next level and being a tremendous player.
To your point about fighting, and Spencer, we'll start with you on this. You know, people ragged on Sam Pittman for the one score losses.
Yeah.
And you guys talked about that, about fading in the fourth quarter. And I said something this week on our show, and somebody asked, well, why are you giving Petrino credit for having one score losses? And the thing I said, and I want to get your guys' opinion on this, is it's easy, I feel like, after the coaching change, not only for the players, but for the coaches too. I mean, these guys are looking for their next job next year too, to really check out. And I think that's what I've been maybe most impressed by this team, is just the fact that they still show up every week when it would be very easy for that not to be the case. I was thinking back to Chad Morris's last year. You know, they were 2-6 and 2-7 and 2-8. And those games didn't look anything like what we're seeing right now from this team.
No, I agree. And you know, I'll use an example. I think it was 1992 when Citadel came here and beat us. I never forget, I went home and I got a call, you need to be back here. And so we lost our coach first game of the season. And Citadel's a military academy, tough as nails. You know, and we could have checked out. But I think the next game we rallied together. You know, went to South Carolina, won that game because we wanted to prove to that our coach that, you know, we got you back. And we all wanted Joe Kynes to be our head coach. Joe Kynes is a great guy. He can tell you some of the best stories ever. He told a story about poop hitting the ground and spreading, and we were ready to go beat somebody. I know it sounds crazy, but that's Joe Kynes. To answer your question, yes, it's tough. You know, you're in the locker room, and it's you guys' age. It affects you different than it affect me now. You know, because I'm gonna go practice, and then I got some little girl calling me here, or somebody else calling me there. So I'm still living my life. But you know, but for that, for Bobby to corral these guys and still make them play, he's doing a good job. That's why I said I'm not against Bobby. I just don't think we have the horses right now in place to complete a season and win a season. So, yeah, it's a tough situation for a coach when you're coming in there. You got to have a lot of character and life. Your guys got to at least want to play for you. Now, it's a little different now. These dudes are getting paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, I know some stories I can tell about Quincy Rose I won't share in this format, but you know, he's playing for different reasons right now, you know. His other folks want him to come give him a bunch of money. So they have an incentive to play, where we were just playing for pride. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were selling anyway. So yeah, next guy. Steve. I don't wanna tell our secrets.
No, I was just gonna piggyback what he was talking about, Coach Kynes, and we lose to the Citadel, but then our first win is against the SEC team, South Carolina, and we beat a ranked Tennessee team later in the year. And when this thing, we had the same transition this year, I think two coaches can say the same thing to the same person and make that person react differently. Like I say, son, I need you to go out there and fight for me and do the best you can. Son, look at me in my eyes. I need you to fight. And
what?
And now you're ready to go through. I really believe the message to these kids and whoever we get, and that's who, to answer your very first question, we need to bring in here. They need to be able to deliver a message to make these kids run through a wall and want to be here. And that's why I'm kind of biased to somebody who's from here, who has a passion for here. When they put the hog in their chest, it's not just about what my contract says. I really want this program to succeed.
I see now why those sixth grade Hawks are so good, Anthony.
That's right.
Sixth grade Hawks so good. Who's that coach, Peyton Hillis? Yeah, Peyton Hillis is his coach. That's why he's so good. But no, these guys, you know, you got some of these guys on this team get $150,000 a month. You know, you got some kids on there who are making $50,000 a month or whatever. Their incentive to play is not about pride anymore. They're taking care of their families. And I understand that they're 18 to 24 in our situation. We've got 30-year-olds on the team, you know. they're trying to play, but they have so much coming at them now. I mean, I'm so fortunate that I didn't get to play when the internet was here, you know, or you got all this social media stuff and all the different people talking about you and what you do, and you got grown men still trying to live their life through their sons and through the kids and stuff and all of that pressure and then all the other. It is not good for teenagers and for kids to have that. But then you put money on top of it, and then you put all the other, you know, stuff that they're going through. So I'm just fortunate that they're still fighting, that they're still here, but just closing, just a little bit. So there's a little tweak, a little something that they got to do, but and I'm going to tell the rest of these kids from Farmington and Elkins, play for pride, kids. I promise you, there's not a lot of people out there that's in the upper levels that are actually playing for pride. Love your town. Represent your town. Represent your family. Represent yourself, because that's more important than anything that you can ever possibly imagine, because it seems like in the day and time, 2025, character integrity doesn't matter as much as it used to. People are literally love the comforting lies instead of the hurtful truth, okay? Look at what's going on out here in this world today, but also, too, corral yourself around good people, play for your team, play for pride, play for your town, because you, like Chip said earlier, these are the best days of your life. Because if you go on another college level, you guys get a D1 opportunity and get a chance to make some NIL. But even if you don't and you go into school like Hardy with Deshaun Chairs, I saw him last week. I mean, I went to Arkansas Tech, and then I saw Caden play at Arkansas. Go where you want it, not where you want to go, okay? Mm-hmm. That's the best opportunity and best advice I can give you guys. But also, too, play for pride, because that is going to mean more to you when you come back 20, 25 years later like us. You're going to remember that more than anything, because you know you gave it your heart, but also, too, you cared about the people that you was around. And then you can go back home, and they're going to treat you like a king, because that's what you guys are, and you are leaders. So continue to be that person. Continue to be those, give that drive. But also, too, more importantly, play for pride. Don't let these guys, I don't care if you guys are going down to Robinson. I don't care. We're Northwest Arkansas. Go down there and beat the hell out of them. Okay? Please. Elkins, do what you guys got to do until next week. Okay?
That's a good word. You know, we hear so much from the fans, the fan base. They're beaten down after years of just mediocre, bad football, failed coach after failed coach. This is an opportunity to get just a perspective, though. Like what's the conversation like in the A Club in terms of is it as hopeless maybe a feeling for you former players about the future of the program as what we would hear saying on a sports talk radio show?
You know, to me, it's like, unfortunately, it's like year to year because of the transfer portal and because of it. Every year can look just totally different. I mean, so you feel like, although you got a bad year now, man, if we just go out and get this kid, and we can turn it around. But that only lasts so long. What we need is consistency. We need something that's going to last long. We got to build a foundation, and that's what I think we unfortunately don't have here. It's because of the transfer portal, because of the coaching situations, because of maybe lack of NIL money to get the players here to stay here, and they go chase the bag, as they say. I think that's the uncertainty every year, because we can complain all we want. The landscape of the game is totally different than when we played. But how can we change it back just a little bit where we can be consistent, so when the kids do know the fight song? We do have a coach here that, man, he might be here for 10 years. He wants to retire here. This is whether, okay, he has losing season right now. Okay, he only won 6 games, 5 games, but I know he can bring it back, and we're just not ready to bury him just because of that one bad season, and we understand that it takes time to progress to be consistently good. So, anyway, I just want consistency.
Spencer?
Yeah, that honestly, that's what it is, and what Steve said, it's hit the nail on the head. Because I'm in the A Club a lot, and actually help with the tailgate, and the players are still on board. They're not too rattled because they know things can change in a year. But what they're really, I say they, us, what we're really tired of is just the inconsistency, the losing, the being up 14 last week and then you just fall apart. You know, it's just, so that's players, you know, Coach Harrell's can only call as many players as one of these boys don't go out and execute, you know, that's, so we just got to get on the same page. And that's what everybody's upset about. We're not playing like hogs. That's what, you know, I was talking to Jodine Davenport the other day and somebody else were sitting there, but we're just talking about, hey, you know, we're not scrappy. We're not, you know, that's why, you know, when you get those walk-ons sometimes, that guy is playing with an edge, you know, and you we're not scrappy. We're just letting things go. So that's where the players are. They're not disappointed because good Lord, we're only losing them at 1 and 2 points. We know we're a good team. The problem is we just got to get that fight back in us. And so that's what they're looking for. That's what they're wanting.
So yeah. You said we know we're a good team. The record wouldn't show that.
No.
How do you qualify that in terms of – because, you know, I know there are a lot of people who have a similar thought. You know, hey, look at OU. What if they're one score games, three of them go the other way? You're not talking about them as a playoff team.
I'll make it quick. Because, you know, you know you're a good team when you're playing an Ole Miss who's probably going to be in the playoffs. You're playing a Notre Dame who's going to be in the playoffs. You're playing a Texas A&M who's in the top four. Mm-hmm. And you're in the game every game. It's just a matter of sometimes our quarterback has a brain fart and throw the ball to the wrong man. And we're like, you got to stop doing that, you know. Or you know, for me, a fumble, you know, it's crazy, little as me, small. You play Memphis, who's a – was in the top 12 just, 2 weeks ago. So we know we're a good team. We're not getting blown out. And Notre Dame, that's whatever. I don't know what we did there. But so we know we're a good team. Now the problem is, the question is, how do we get our boys to just take care of the small things? And that you know, back in the old days, you know, I mean, Houston Nutt was my receiver's coach before I went to the defensive back. And if you drop a ball, man, you may be walking around everywhere with a ball, you know, like the old school. We got to get back to that, just taking care of the ball. Anyway.
Accountability.
Yeah, accountability.
No, that's what I was saying. So I don't think necessarily we're a bad team. We're just playing bad against it's about to sound crazy, but we're playing bad against the teams that we're playing against, meaning that 7 of the 12 teams that we're playing at one point have been considered for the college playoff. That's what I was going to get at. Spencer touched on a little bit. So one of two things got to happen. Our schedule's not going to change. The SEC is the SEC. So either we're going to have to adapt and to our competition, or we're going to continue to be the best, worst team in the NCAA.
Careful, if you don't, go ahead and talk about Bobby, you know, when you were –
Oh yeah, so we were talking about this, you know, just how do we keep losing these close games? I honestly believe that the players take on the personality of the coach. Like we took on the personality of Coach Kynes day one when he got the interim job. I think during the course of the game, I think Coach Petrino, when he comes out there, I think he has them ready to play. He has them ready to win. But as we know, he has a real short temper. And at some point in the game, especially these last three games, we all have seen it, he loses it on the sideline. I mean, beyond loses it, to the point where he's looking for a flag, and they take on that personality. And if you notice, if you go back and look at these last three games, every time he loses it, that's when we lose it. And I think that's something that you have to be conscious of. That's something from a coaching staff. He got to have that. I forgot what they call that guy. He got to have that accountability guy. Like coach,
get back coach.
Like you know, you got to have the get back coach or the calm down coach. What the mob call him? The concierge. He needs that concierge guy. You know, who could be able to say anything, speak that word to him. Like Bobby, you need to calm down, okay? You know what I'm saying? And bring him back. And I think that has a lot to do with, you know, how we finish the games, unfortunately.
Anthony?
So inconsistent. It seemed like there's no accountability. But also to the point where, okay, I don't know if you guys seen Tommy Tice on the sideline. I have a bunch of times. Coolest cat in the world, okay? Cool. I'm talking about just cool. But also, too, his teams takes that same monitor, you know? They don't have excessive penalties. They don't have – I mean, I can go to and tell you about every high school football team in Northwest Arkansas because I've seen them. But your team is going to take on the personality of your coach. And if he's a hard fighter, they're going to be that person. If not, they're going to be – Fayetteville or the Arkansas Razorbacks. Hey, man, I can say what I need to say, man. I've seen it. I've never seen a team average 100 100 yards and penalties a game except for the Fayetteville Bulldogs, okay? So, like I said, it's you take those opportunities and you take everything accordingly, but your team is going to reflect exactly what your coach is. And you can see how Farmington is playing. You can see how Elkins is playing. We have some of the top teams in Northwest Arkansas. And like I said, if we can reflect some of those opportunities down here in Fayetteville a little bit and not lose our cool, we won't be averaging 100 yards and penalties in the SEC like we do every week. We're killing ourselves a lot.
So I got the 1995 media guide here. I want to have a little bit of fun here before we get out of here. We got player bios. If we could get their pictures up on the screen, that would be really fun. Oh, look at Kevin Traynor looking so young right there.
Kevin.
Let's go alphabetical order. So, Spencer, you're going to be first. There you are right there. Cornerback, 5'11", 183 from Morrilton.
Look like
Tupac. I wanted to point out a couple of things that was said here. You said if you could change anything about college football, you would allow athletes to have part-time jobs or receive compensation beyond a scholarship. Well, that's happening now.
Well, let me tell you why.
A little too far, right?
Let me tell you why I said that. Well, back in those days, we got a little per diem. You know, don't get me wrong. They gave us a little something. But, man, we would have to go get – I remember one time we found a size 13 shoe and took it down to Domino's, and they gave us about 5 pieces for them. That's how we had to live. we get some gloves and go trade out for this. So, you know, yeah, you know, in that day and age, I would definitely have – I wouldn't have ever imagined what we're having now, but I would have liked to have been able to go on Sundays and get a good meal.
Have food,
and you know that good. And they took care of us. You know, I'm sure there was other kids that didn't get the luxuries that we get. So that's why I said that.
All right, here we got Steve looking real serious here in his picture.
I had hair too.
6'5", 229, senior, Chicago. You said. If you could switch places for a day with anybody, it would be with a lion. Mm-hmm. Why?
Because a lion is the most feared person. You think it's the most feared person in the jungle, all right? And he not only is the most feared person in the jungle, but after watching The Lion King, he has a lot of responsibilities too. He has to become balanced. And that's the biggest thing that I felt like, how can I say this? I got to make sure I say the right word when I say this. So I had this imagery thing that I used to do when I played, and you had to pretend like you were something on the field. So when I played like I was a lion when I was at Arkansas, because I wanted to be the most feared person when I played, and I wanted to portray that. And so that's why I wanted to do the trade to be a lion. Ironically, when I went to Pittsburgh, they had psychoanalyst, a person do the exact same thing to me. I forgot about the whole lion thing. I said I wanted to be a Patriot missile because it was during the Iraq War. And I visualized myself as a Patriot missile, and the quarterback was the stud trying to hit Kuwait. Mm-hmm. So every time the ball is snapped, I'm like, I'm trying to get that missile. So I had to put imagery in myself to psych myself up to play. At Arkansas, I was a lion.
Chicago.
In Pittsburgh, I was a Patriot missile. Please don't tell nobody that.
That's what happened to defense.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, Anthony, you got $1 million smile right there. That's a good-looking picture of you.
I was happy.
Arkadelphia, 6'2", 229. I thought this was kind of interesting. First off, you said that growing up you thought you'd play basketball rather than football for Arkansas?
Yeah.
Was that for Nolan?
Yes. I'm the son of a basketball coach, former basketball coach. He retired about a couple of years ago. He coached 43 years in the state of Arkansas, down in South Arkansas, down in Arkadelphia. He was an AD at Arkadelphia for 25 years. Mm-hmm. And we coached at Camden when Camden had a team. So I thought I was a basketball player until my dad literally told me, boy, you don't have the cool. You're not cool enough to be a basketball player. You're a hothead, and if you lose it, you foul too much. And I fouled out. I probably have the record for fouling out in a game because I'm going to hurt you. Yeah, I play rough.
You're kind of like Petrino on a basketball court. You said you think college football would be better if, quote, we didn't have so many regulations and just went back to the basics. That's kind of what you've been preaching up here today.
Exactly. I mean, I'm sorry. It's not complicated. It's just football, guys. It is not complicated. people try to make it about X's and O's when it's really relegated to the Jimmys and Joes. Mm. These are Jimmys and Joes right here. These are guys that you can win with. You don't have to get all the X's and O's. You can tell, remember the 95 Nebraska team used to tell you where they're going to run the ball? Oklahoma, they used to tell you where they're going to run the ball. Harding, the only team that runs what they run, and they're the number one seeded team in Division II. You know where they're going to run the ball, but can you stop them? That's because you're prepared, you're ready to go, and you know what you're going to do. So I just think, you know, like for Arkansas, we just need to get back to basics, teach a little bit more history, get all our trophies out of that storage facility in Rogers. I don't care if you put them in this room and make a museum. We need a museum. We need something.
Yeah.
But we need not just to give these guys $50,000 a month. We need to give them some history also, too. Mm. And make sure they learn the damn fight song.
Steve?
No, so he was talking about just knowing what to do and having pride. I remember Coach Jolie Dunn, and we were talking about it doesn't matter what they do, it's a matter of what we do. And we had that same mentality. I know he gave offensive analogies, but we had that same mindset on defense. He was probably the only defensive coordinator that coached with no headset. He actually waited. He said he waits to see what they're in. He'll call a play, or he'll call the play before they even line up. He said, I don't care what they do. They got to stop us. We ain't got to stop them. And it was like that. It was a mindset. That's why we were one of the number one defenses in the SEC that year. And I just think it's – and that goes to a mindset. Whether he was right or wrong, we believed what he wanted us to do. As crazy as that sounds, I don't see that working today with no headset anyway. But we believed as players that we can do it because – how he presented it to us. And I think that same thing is what we need here at Arkansas today.
Guys, this has been a lot of fun. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And our thanks to Steve Conley, Spencer Brown, and Anthony Hicks for being at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club today. We appreciate you being with us today. Hope that we'll see you tomorrow on our podcast as Ethan Westerman joins me in studio to talk about the Razorback game against Texas, or at our website, wholehogsports.com. Have a great day, everybody.